Okay. So today is April 14th, 2009. It's 1 p.m. And my name is Marcy Werner. I'm going to be interviewing Randolph Barron, and his great-grandson, Brandon Barron, is in the room with us as well. It's for the Kentucky Veterans Project, Oral History Project. And so with that, I guess we'll begin. You want to give me a little background information on you, like when you were born and where?
Well, I was born in 1920, Georgetown, Kentucky.
You lived there your whole life?
Yeah, I was in the Army.
Okay. How did you get to the Army?
Well, before the war started in 1941, I was 21, and I volunteered in the first draft and left Georgetown.
Okay.
And left Georgetown, we went to Fort Thomas, and we was inducted into service, and we ended up in Camp Sheba, Mississippi, training.
All right. How long did you train there?
Well, we done our basic training there. We had 13 weeks of basic training, I think. And then we went to the 1941 maneuvers in Louisiana for 2 months. And then we came back to Camp Shelby.
Okay.
Still trained there. And I got a copy of a lot of that junk.
Oh, wow. These are photos from your training days?
No, that's from when I was overseas.
Oh, okay.
No, this year's Camp Sheba, Mississippi, where we trained at.
And is this where you lived in these tents?
Yeah.
Oh, my. No walls on the tents?
No walls.
No walls. How many people to a tent?
About five of us.
Oh, okay. I guess, did they inspect your tents at night?
Yeah.
Did they?
Daytime, too.
So what did you do in training? What was an average day in basic training?
Well, as we got out of the basic, I was in an artillery outfit, and we would go out on the artillery range every day, nearly.
Okay.
And after we left, got to 41 maneuvers over, we came back to Camp Shelby. And let's see, we left at 41. And we went to see what we done after that. And we still trained there in Shelby until the rest of that year. And I come home and got married in December.
Of 41?
41.
Okay. That was before you went overseas?
Yeah.
Where did you go overseas?
We didn't go overseas until January 1944.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We stayed in the States. We done another maneuver in 42 in Louisiana, and then we come back to Camp Shelby and went to North Carolina and with attached a tank outfit and trained with them a while. And we came back to Shelby and then went to Cape Carabel, Florida and done amphibious training for a couple of months. And back to Shelby and then in 1942 we went to Cape Livingston, Louisiana. Stayed there and we stayed in Cape Livingston until we went overseas in January 44.
Okay. When you say you went out and did a maneuver, is that like is that just another part of training or is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, training, yeah.
Okay.
It's what we'd consider a modern day convoy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm not. Military.
And when we went overseas, we left New Orleans in January. The first of 44.
Okay.
and we ended up going through the Panama Canal and ended up in Hawaii in 22 days. We stayed in Hawaii 6 months. When we left Hawaii, we went to New Guinea.
Oh, wow.
And I think we stayed in New Guinea a couple, 3 months, and then we went to Leyte in the Philippine Islands.
Okay, and is that where you... Did you see combat in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I...
And we went to Leyte and stayed there, and then we left Leyte and on the island of Leyte and went to the island of Luzon.
Wow.
And we was in the Avengers of the Death March.
Okay. And can you tell me about the Death March? I don't know much about that.
Well, we weren't there when the Death March was going on. We was there afterwards.
Okay.
And we landed on the West Coast, and we'd taken the Bataan Peninsula over back. Went through the zigzag pass.
Okay.
We're supposed to went through it in 2 days, and it was 21 days, in fact, something like that, getting through it.
Okay. Wow. But you eventually got through and...
Yeah, and then we went on into Manila, and we ended up at Clark Field.
Wow. Okay. Are there any specific questions you can think of about that? I don't know much about military history.
Tell her a little bit about Zigzag Pass, because Zigzag Pass was some of the heaviest fighting in the Pacific Theater.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, it was through the mountains from Longapo to across to Bataan, and so the Japanese were dug into the mountains and had caves and everything, and they had to root them out of there.
So you had to kind of go up and over.
Yeah, over.
And they were already dug in.
Yeah, it's probably, I imagine, it's probably 20-something miles through that pass.
Wow.
They had to use the artillery fire to soften them up and then send in the infantry to get them out of the caves.
Okay. So, your group, did most of your group make it through the pass?
Yeah, we only lost one man while we was over there in our artillery outfit.
Okay. Lucky. Excellent. were you all... I guess you guys were a pretty tight group.
Do I know?
Were you all a pretty tight group of guys?
Yeah. I have a picture of it, of all of our guys. Oh, what do you... I'm done with that.
What he forgets to tell you is his unit that he was in is still a Kentucky National Guard unit today.
Oh, yeah, we was in the 138th Field Artillery.
Okay.
It's still active in Lexington.
I am Joint Force Headquarters here in Frankfort.
Okay. Do those change a lot?
The units?
Mm-hmm.
The units per se don't, but some units can go out of commission as the Army changes.
Okay.
Because we have no need for that particular unit anymore.
Okay.
For example, all the cavalry units back in World War I, they would have been on horseback, but today what we call cavalry is now armored cav, and that's tanks.
Okay.
Well, there's about the zigzag pace there.
I like both of you in this photo. Okay. Excellent. I'll take some photos of these later if that's all right.
There's a picture of our... That's our artillery battery.
Okay.
And back then, most of it was a National Guard outfit and was activated out of Louisville. A lot of them guys from Louisville.
Did you keep in touch with these guys after your...
I'm keeping in touch with three right now.
Really?
He's the only three that... One of them's in Baltimore, Maryland, and one of them in Wheeling, West Virginia, and one here in Louisville.
Okay. Did you all keep in touch throughout the whole years?
Yeah, we've had a reunion up until about 5 years ago, and a lot of them kept passing away and didn't have enough to have a reunion. We had a reunion in Louisville.
Okay. That's pretty centrally located. Probably a few memories there.
But all these guys, we were together 4 years and a half.
Wow.
That picture was taken in 1941 at our basic training in Camp Sheridan, Mississippi.
Did you re-enlist after this?
No.
After those 4 years? Did you go home and obviously start a family?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What did you all do during basic training, like for recreation or fun?
Well, they had softball teams, and that's about all they had.
Not just softball. I guess the weather was good in Mississippi for softball year round.
Yeah, it stayed pretty good down there.
Okay. Let's see. So you were in for 4 years.
4 years and a half.
4.5 years.
Went in April 9, 1941. I got October 4, 1945.
Okay. What did you do after the war, or after your service?
Well, when I come back home, I worked in a dry cleaner for 10 years. Then I left the dry cleaner and went to an electric blanket factory in Georgetown. Called Electric Parts and worked there 19 years. And then I went to Clark Equipment, made forklifts and worked there 10 years until 85. I got out and retired.
Wow. Did your training in the Army help you with finding jobs after you left the Army?
No, not really.
No, they didn't really compatible. They weren't compatible.
That law didn't really go into effect.
It's a law.
Yeah, it's a veterans preference law where veterans do get first shot at jobs.
Okay.
It didn't go into effect until 1971.
Okay. I guess when you came back from the war, were you received as a hero?
Yeah, we got received pretty good when we come back.
They have a parade for you or anything?
Yeah.
Didn't they? So how many kids did you have?
Well, we had three boys, and we had one just passed away here on January the 4th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was 64 years old.
Okay.
He was also Army Reserve veteran.
He had a massive heart attack.
Oh.
Had never been sick or nothing.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
They had one boy that's been in the Navy. He was on the aircraft. He's been in Vietnam. He's on the intrepid aircraft carrier.
Okay. That's my grandfather.
Okay. So does, does the military history in your family start before you, or were you the first person in the military in your family?
I was the first person, probably.
First person, and it's continuing on.
Yeah.
Well, it skipped a generation.
Okay.
He was in the Army. My grandfather was in the Navy. Then my dad didn't join anything.
Okay.
And then I'm National Guard now.
Okay.
There's one more guy in Georgetown that was in the Army with me, but he was in the 149th Infantry in Earl Hamilton. And he's still living.
Do you all get together at all?
I talk to him now and then.
Did he fight in different areas than you did?
Yeah.
And traveled in different areas?
Yeah, he was in the infantry and he was not in the artillery, of course, it was all the same place.
Okay. Did you ever travel back to any of those places after you were out of the service?
I've been back to Hawaii's old place.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think of more Army-related questions.
Well, I don't have any Army-related, but to show, he obviously survived a Great Depression,
mm-hmm.
survived a World War.
I guess born in.
And, one other thing he did survive, 05 pop.
Oh, I had surgery, rectal cancer surgery in 05.
Wow. All right.
And I had cancer on my nose, and it took off. Been last year, wasn't it?
Yep, that was like just this past year in 2010.
6 months ago.
Wow.
I did have pictures to show you on my phone, but my phone deleted all my pictures.
I hate when that happens. I'm trying to think about your time in the service. Are there any sort of stories that come to mind, whether they be funny or poignant or...
No, not really.
Before we were old enough, when we were little, We'd ask him what he used to do in the Army. He said he hid behind a log. That was before we were old enough to actually know what was going on.
Right. Do you still, do you have thoughts about, I mean, do you have fond memories of the relationships or friends you had in the Army? Do you kind of miss it a little bit?
Yeah, man, you miss them.
Do you? Yeah. You miss somebody inspecting your barracks every day?
Yeah.
Did you have any jobs during basic training? Like, did they have KP duty or?
Oh, yeah, you done KP duty.
Did you have to do that every day, or was it like sort of?
No, it was just wasn't very often.
Okay.
A rotation type deal.
Okay.
And I drove the Jeep most time. Well, if you're a driver, you didn't got out of that, you didn't have to do it.
Okay.
You had to do guard duty too.
Tell her about what was it, driving the colonel's car, Pop? Made you pull over for coffee.
Oh yeah, started sleepy. Now we was also in, I believe it was in 1943, we went to Texas City, Texas for Coast Guard duty down there for probably down there 2 months.
So you trained, you kind of like cross-trained with the Coast Guard?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you were out on the water for 2 months?
No, we weren't on the water. We okay. was on the shore.
Okay. So what did you train for with the Coast Guard?
Oh, we weren't with Coast Guard.
Okay.
We was better with ourselves, just artillery. Had the gun set up on the coast.
Oh, okay.
Artillery guns. We was in 105s.
Okay.
And that's what we done in Hawaii, on Coast Guard duty.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Back in those times, the Coast Guard wasn't really a force. It wasn't even really there.
Okay.
So when the threat of war came, instead of having the Coast Guard out patrolling the oceans, they would take artillery guns and set them up on the shorelines.
So it was like the literal version of Coast Guard.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, I was in Fort Benning, Georgia. We were just coming back off of maneuvers, coming back to Louisiana, off of North Carolina maneuver.
Okay. So
we was in Fort Benning the night that stopped over all night during the war when they bombed Pearl Harbor.
How soon after they bombed Pearl Harbor did you end up in Hawaii?
We didn't go to Hawaii until January 44.
Okay, so it was, okay.
It was a while.
3 years later.
3 years later. Instead of a month later.
Yeah, we stayed in the States a good while. We're lucky there.
Okay. Let's see. Well, did you see any other combat other than at Zigzag Pass?
Yeah, we did. We was in Manila, and they was up Clark Field. There was all over Luzon.
Okay, so once you started going overseas, did you pretty much see combat everywhere you went?
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of these other photos? Are they of the places you went?
Well, I don't know. Them are some of New Guinea.
Did you get to explore the cities that you went to, like in Manila?
Yeah.
Did you kind of go out at night?
Well, we didn't went to Manila very much when it was all off limits.
Oh.
And when we got to Hawaii, we couldn't go in Honolulu or no place because it was black out there.
Okay.
We were stationed on the North Shore from Manila, from Honolulu.
Okay.
You actually got these labeled.
Yeah. So who took the photos?
Oh, I don't know. I just ended up getting them. I don't know how I got them.
Okay. You weren't the photographer.
Tell her about your only form of entertainment over there, Pop. The cockfights.
Yeah, I was kind of curious as to what you all did for fun.
Well, we didn't have too much. We was stationed in the, one was in the Philippines. They all was fighting chickens everywhere he's at.
Did you make some money off of that?
No.
No?
Did you lose some money off of it?
I had them bridges that blown out between the Zigzag Pass and Manila.
Okay.
Them was going into Manila. Of course, we went there. We was on them pontoon bridges they made for us to cross.
Mm-hmm. Was that how it was when you got there?
The
bridges were already destroyed?
Yeah, the Japanese blowed them up in front of us.
Okay.
See, they retreated on in, they blowed the bridges up ourselves.
That's a combat tactic still used today.
I can, yeah. And is this you all?
Yeah, that's in Louisiana training.
Oh, okay. With your artillery?
Yeah. Now I have a buddy that's in the, he's got Alzheimer's now, and he's in the nursing home in Baltimore, Maryland. He was our battery clerk, and he, I don't know how he kept all them records today, from that day to this day, he wrote never down, he was a battery clerk, and his wife sent me that there a year or two ago.
Okay,
that's where we'd been every day. He got this down to what we done for them days, where we was at.
So when you crossed the equator,
yeah,
on July 23rd, 1944,
he had a record of all that, and she sent me that.
Here's something that John Trowbridge wrote up.
Okay.
The National Guard historian.
Okay. About his
about the guard from 1941 to 1945.
Okay.
Oh, there's another page.
Were you glad to come home?
Yeah.
How long after you came home did you start a family?
Well, we had one boy who was born while I was overseas.
Okay.
I was like, how old were you when he was born?
That's probably a little hard.
Huh?
That was probably a little difficult.
Yeah.
And after you, did you all secure Zigzag Pass?
Yeah.
Okay. And where did you go right after that?
Went on into Manila.
Went on, okay. And then you saw combat in Manila?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just kept chasing them.
Kept chasing them. They were left Manila and went Clark Field's all up on the other end of the island. We ended up there.
Where the Japanese made their final stand.
They made back in the mountains. They had to root them out of the mountains there. So we was there.
So was that sort of your last duty after they were rooted out? Did you come home or did you see anything else after that?
Well, now I come home. I got out on, they was giving points, you know. And I got out on points when they dropped the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way home at that time. I come home before the outfit did, about a month.
Okay. Because you had points, you say?
Yeah, they give points. If you was married, you had so many points, and you had so much combat points, you got points. And I had 92 points at that time.
Okay.
They I'm not sure what out. He's referring to there. We don't do that now.
Were letting them out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting out.
Was 92 points considered high?
I guess.
Yeah. High enough to get you out of my early.
High enough to get
you out.
See, now you get points for retirement and you get points for promotion, but you don't get points for early ETS.
Okay.
Now you sign, it's a mandatory 8-year contract.
All right.
Well, we got points for the combat missions we're in.
Okay.
Like New Guinea and all that.
Yeah.
We got so many points there, and there was an old lady got so many points for that, and those on.
So when you enlisted, you enlisted for 4 years, but there was a possibility of...
No, I enlisted for a year when
a year. And they kept you in.
When the war started, we was hooked.
Okay, you worked. Okay, you had to stay in. Okay.
And we were drawing $21 a month when I went in.
Wow.
Pay scale was $21.
And did you live? Did were you married at the time?
No, I wasn't married. Okay. At the time.
Once you got married, did your wife get to live on base or near you?
No, she come to Louisiana before I went overseas and stayed a couple of months. It's the only time.
Where did she stay when she was?
She stayed back at home in Georgetown with her parents.
Okay. When she was in Louisiana visiting you, where did she stay?
We had an apartment rented at a camp.
Okay. And would you get to stay there with her?
The nights we could go home, okay. get a pass and go.
Well, all right. I didn't know that part. Any other points or questions?
I don't think so.
So was this, I'm going back to the recreation or the fun things you all did while you were, while you were stationed overseas. Was cockfighting or chicken fighting just everywhere? Was it everywhere?
Yeah, well, in the Philippines. The Philippines one done it, and they,
okay.
We'd be stationed in a little village, maybe one with 300 or 400 Filipinos in it, and that's all they done is fight chicken.
It still goes on today.
Illegally, but...
yes. not quite as accessible, maybe. Did you ever get out to, like, any of the nightlife or anything? Or I guess you couldn't really...
No, not over there. We didn't...
Might not have been much of it.
No, probably not. He, in the past, so it would have been... October the 9th of 09 was probably the last time he set foot on a military base.
Okay.
Now, when we was in Honolulu, we'd get a weekend pass, and we'd go to Waikiki Beach. And they had a place set up there where the soldiers could stay and maybe pay $1 or $2 a night to stay there.
Okay.
I think that place is still there in Honolulu.
Really? When you went back to Hawaii, did you visit any of your old haunts? Did you visit the base?
Well, we went back to... We was on... Where we was at, we was on the North Shore, and we was up on top of a big mountain. They called it Pupaki Heights.
Okay.
And we went back up there. But when we went back, we couldn't get down where our camp was because there was a Boy Scouts camp there and they wouldn't let us in.
Okay.
You did get to go to Pearl Harbor, though, didn't you?
Oh, we Pearl Harbor every day nearly. I drove a bad commander, and I probably drove around that island every day.
Was that one of your main duties? I know you said you drove more than doing other duties, but...
Yeah.
Why did you get picked for that?
Well, I just got picked for driving.
Okay. Just luck of the draw?
Yeah.
What's the most memorable part of your service? I guess it seems like you remember most of it, but...
Oh, I don't know. Getting bombed one morning and relearning one thing. Remember.
That's pretty memorable.
We was going from, I believe it tells you on that,
on you.
One of them letters.
Oh, that one.
Right there, a day there, we was going,
December 5th,
yeah.
Intermittent enemy air attacks from 800 hours to 1800
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, they started, yeah, we was out there, no American planes or nothing. Japanese bombed us that morning, starting about 8 o'clock.
That was while you were on the ships, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were going from there to Luzon.
Okay. So you were en route.
So
okay.
But one Japanese plane, one of them suicide divers, he hit the ship next to us, and he went off in the water ship, didn't the pilot come on deck?
He came up on deck?
Yeah. Throwed him out of the plane. He come on deck, and the plane bounced back in the water.
Okay.
He probably killed, there's a ship next to us. He probably killed 15, 20 people on the ship of our people.
I guess he didn't survive falling out of the plane.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
What'd they do with him?
Oh, what'd they done with him? Probably threw him overboard.
I'm sure they were a little angry. How many ships were going at that point? How many were traveling?
Oh, they was probably 15 or 20.
Oh, wow.
We were going to make a landing in Luzon.
Was he the only kamikaze pilot that tried to...
He's the only one. He's a sir. After we got into Luzon there, I think he had another ship or two.
Forgive my ignorance, did your ships have the capability of fighting back while you were traveling?
Yeah.
Okay. So you saw combat on the water.
Yeah.
Mostly anti-aircraft, right, Pop? Mostly anti-aircraft weapons on the ships.
Okay. And so, you have any memories about the Panama Canal, crossing the Panama Canal? I know that used to be a...
No, we went through that at night.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't...
You didn't get to see much.
Didn't see much.
Okay. Did you ever think about re-enlisting?
No.
Didn't want to... No Army? No career Army?
No.
I don't blame you. And then you say you had a reunion every year?
Every year up to about probably 5 years ago.
5 years
ago. In Louisville.
Every year in Louisville?
Yeah.
Okay. Who organizes those? Or who organized those? Who got everyone together?
Well, they had people set up in Louisville, had a president and all that.
Okay.
And they'd charge you about $15 to go come to a reunion.
Okay.
Kept money and knew where they could handle it.
Who traveled the furthest to come to the reunions?
We've had them everywhere, Louisiana and everywhere.
Louisiana, okay.
When we had it. Of course, we had a lot of people in Louisville that was in there, but they didn't show up. A whole lot of them didn't. People close didn't come.
That happens a lot, it seems. Are there any other stories you can think of that you want to share?
No, yeah.
You have some good ones. Any others that you've heard that you want to... prompt him to share?
I think he's pretty well covered everything.
Okay.
I mean, he's, like I said, he's the last time he kind of got an awakening to what the Army's like today when he went to Fort Jackson in 2009.
What, was he visiting you?
That was actually the day of my basic training graduation.
Okay. So yeah, the way that the what is it? The bases and the training has changed since
yours? Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Does it seem tougher or easier?
Well, it's probably easier.
He walked into our barracks and he started taking a look around.
It was nice because they had walls.
Well, it's a big stone building and
oh, okay.
Had barracks and cots and air conditioning and all that good stuff.
That does seem easier.
And he started looking around.
No, we stayed in tents all the time we was in.
Yeah, with no walls.
He started looking around and he goes, where are they running in here, a hotel?
Yeah. Not that it's not cushy, but I'm sure comparatively it's a pretty striking difference.
I'm sure it is.
We were stationed in I believe it was New Guinea, and our company clerk, he lives in Louisville now. I talk to him all the time now. And one of our sergeants and they was together. And we were in New Guinea, and we had carbines, you know. And they was out shooting. We was right stationed right in a wooded area. And they was out one morning about daylight shooting parakeets out of trees. And they busted them both, the private.
So they got demoted?
Yeah.
For shooting parakeets.
Yeah, they was out shooting them by the sales and they busted them, made them private.
That's funny.
Wow.
I hadn't heard that one yet.
But one of them guys dead, and one of them still living. I still talk to one of them.
That kind of sounds like recreation.
Yeah, they were having fun while they had. They busted and made them pay for the bullets they shot.
Oh, really?
That's probably what they got more mad about.
Having their pay docked. What were y'all's, just out of curiosity, what were y'all's meals like in the Army?
Oh, we had pretty good meals.
Did you?
We had our own mess hall, and they had our own cooks. Okay. And they were pretty good.
Did you always get enough to eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had their own, with the modern Army, they don't have a rolling kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We get those in our Army's that are,
yeah,
taste like rubber and all that good stuff. He had a kitchen that rolled in the back of a truck.
Yeah, we got so when we went to maneuver and everything. They took our kitchen. We had everything with us. We had pretty good food.
Did they? I've seen this in movies, or I've seen it referenced. Do they actually have people peeling potatoes all day long?
Oh yeah, you done that now, man.
Prepping for the kitchen, prepping for the meals. I never knew that.
Yeah, so in that sense, he had it a little better than we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had pretty good food when we was in Camp Shelby.
Okay. When you were in basic training here in the States and traveling around the United States, and you were you allowed to leave base at night? Only if you had a pass.
Only if you had a pass.
Okay. Did they hand those out freely, or did you have to do something to earn those?
They didn't let them out too much. You had to be out and be back in a certain time.
Okay. So they kept a tight leash on you.
So we always had a movie on the excuse me, on the post, and you go to the movie without a pass.
Okay. So they supplied some fun for you.
Yeah, we always had a movie theater.
I was waiting for you to say, we don't have a movie theater.
Yes, I wish we had that one. We didn't even get to eat what we called normal food until we hit AIT, and I went from Fort Lee, Virginia. And then we were allowed, on the weekends, we were allowed to like go to Burger King and stuff like that. But
okay.
Basic training, it was all straight out of the DFAC.
Hmm. Were you, what do I want to say, were you happy to see your son and your great-grandson go into the service?
Well, it didn't bother us too much. That's what they wanted to do.
Okay. You didn't object?
No.
You just knew what they were in for.
Knew what they were in for.
Did you start telling them stories then to kind of prepare them?
Yeah, I don't think it is as bad now as it was then. I don't think he's got it too bad.
Okay.
2 days a month.
Well, that's, yeah, a little different, yeah.
No, I've been getting stories like that since I was about 12 years old.
Okay. Not shy about sharing the stories. That's great. I don't know, is there anything else?
No.
All right. If you think of anything, you can always call us back and come back.
Yeah.
Do you know, I guess out of curiosity, how many soldiers were at Zig Zag Pass?
Oh, I don't know whether that thing ever. I hold up. There was a bunch of them.
Okay, so it's pretty heavily armed from.
Our artillery outfit probably was.
I'm trying to read and see. It never says exactly how many. It says how many were killed in Bataan, but okay. It never says how many were actually fought in Zig Zag Pass.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of Zig Zag Pass until I just did a little bit of research before you were coming, but once you got through, did they send other people behind you all, like as reinforcements?
Well, they probably were. They okay. probably reinforced.
Probably to hold the pass.
Okay. So what started out as maybe just a few divisions ended up, more people just ended up
coming. I'd say that they were the offensive part, and then they sent more in behind them as a defensive mission.
Okay.
To hold it.
I know there's one outfit up in front of us. They hadn't been in there long, and they were about to whip them, and they pulled them back, and we went in.
Okay. So you all were like the fresh crew to sort of continue on. And did they pull you back and send in?
No.
You guys made it through?
We just kept going.
Yeah, he said he was an avenger of the Bataan Death March. That was, it's this, you can see here, there were 72,000 captured and about 11,000 died
in that march.
And didn't you actually get to the POW camp?
No, oh, I've been to the camp, but after they done evacuated, they done gone.
Oh, I thought you were there when they had the POWs.
See, the Japanese give that cape up when turkey, they weren't retreating to the hills.
Okay. This is good. I haven't heard a lot about Zigzag Pass, so this will be, I think, pretty important to have heard about. But, I might take a few pictures, but if you can't think of any other stories or anything else you want to say, we can.
Do you need any of these?
I can take pictures of those. I think there's a camera in there. I can take pictures real quick.
These are actually safe to photocopy, if that makes it easier.
Oh, okay. We can do that. That one's really nice.
Do you want to keep that?
Oh, I don't want to keep your...
Well, I got another.
This isn't the original. This is a copy.
I got another at home.
So you can keep that one.
This one looks so well loved, though. Let me stop this guy.